Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and I am privileged and honored and geeked out a bit to welcome our guest on the show, Dr. Barry Sears. I bought his book, probably one of the first nutrition, quote unquote, diet books, health books that I bought. And I remember being so wowed by the wealth of information in this book. And it still is to this day. Everybody refers to this as, you know, their Bible, the nutrition Bible, the reference for the gold standard for diet and nutrition. And so it's really stood the test of time. Dr. Sears is so well respected in this field. So I am so honored, Dr. Sears, to have you here. Are you ready to go?
Oh, Kelly, I am. And thank you for giving me the opportunity of being on your show.
Thank you so much. Well, we are going to dive right in. I'm sure that there are so many of our readers and listeners that obviously have the same respect and appreciation for everything that you've done and put out, both from your food products with the Zone Diet, the books, and all of the information and education you have out there. But there's also some folks that are going to be listening today for the first time that are hearing about you. So I thought, you know, considering it's your first time on the show, you could tell some of our newbies out there about how you, I don't want to say got started necessarily pursuing health and wellness in your personal life, but tell us about the origination of the Zone Diet, because that's really when people started paying attention to you. And again, it's made such an impact on the health and the wellness and nutrition space. What led you to author that book and come up with that diet, if you will?
Well, actually, the basis was that I was never very interested in nutrition. My earlier background was developing intravenous drug delivery systems for cancer. Sure. And even though I developed a number of exciting compounds, actually one of them still sells about $200 million a year for ovarian cancer, it became clear to me that basically medicine was going up the wrong tree. And when you begin to stem back from whether it be cancer or heart disease, what you see is this constant aspect that's driven by inflammation. And so that made me start to think, saying, how can I basically control inflammation? Not by drugs, because drugs have a very, very poor track record, but possibly could we treat food like a drug to keep inflammation not turned off, but in a zone, not too high, but not too low. And if we could do that, it would change the course of medicine, how we practice it into the future.
That's amazing. I just, and for everybody listening, I know that these microphones pick up everything. So you'll often hear me scribbling while I'm doing an interview. And that's because I'm taking notes and having like, oh, I've got to pick up on that. I love when you said we should treat food like a drug and that so many medicines in the typical medical practice, it's a topic that we're going to address a lot on the show. We hear from folks all the time that, you know, they're writing in going, I go to my doctor, I'm going to him for this. And it's very clear that it sounds like, I'm not a doctor, but it's very clear that it sounds like either hormonal issues, inflammation issues, and they're being put on Prozac, they're being put on Xanax, or you know, saying, hey, just go out and walk more. That there's nothing wrong with you. It's your fault. You're not working out enough, and they're being given really extreme drugs, Ambien. I could go on and on and on. All of these, which can cause, as we all know, so many more other, often more significant symptoms than they had in the first place. It's crazy. So I love that you started off there saying food can be, which it really can be if we pay attention and understand how it can be complex, but it can be really simple and can make a profound impact on our health when we realize that food can be medicine. So that's actually a perfect segue. When I was preparing for our interview today, I was looking up on your website, drsears.com. And I just love that underneath, you know, your tagline is the science site of anti-inflammatory nutrition. For everybody listening, we'll link up to this in the show. But Dr. Sears, there's so many people, I was one of them, probably as soon as a year ago, when somebody would say inflammation to me, and this is an area that you specialize in, you just referenced it in your first answer, There's so many people like me that are like, well, inflammation, I don't get it. Like, they hear about that all the time, but I don't think many people, let me put it this way. There's a lot of folks out there that could be very fit, very healthy, but they have no idea really what inflammation is, what impact it can be having, even behind the scenes, on their fitness goals and their fitness efforts. So help us newbies out there, and those folks that are listening that are like, inflammation, what's the big deal? Some people might think inflammation is getting a rash. They don't know what is inflammation.
Well, and this problem that you allude to is also the same problem they have at Harvard Medical School. They have a hard time explaining and understanding inflammation. We think of inflammation as something that's bad, that makes our life miserable. Actually, if we didn't have enough inflammation in our genes being turned on, we'd be a sitting target for microbes. Our physical injuries would never heal. The trouble is, when we turn on too much or don't turn it off, then you get residual low-level inflammation that's below the perception of pain. You can't feel it, but what's going on is causing now ongoing damage in every organ in your body that accumulates. That's why eventually, with enough time, you get in-organ damage. For some, we call it diabetes. Others, heart disease. Still others, cancer. And others, Alzheimer's. Virtually every chronic disease we have is a consequence of this chronic low-level inflammation because we are unable to turn it off effectively. The medical term for turning it off is called resolution. So think of this as you've got to turn inflammation on to survive in the world, but you have to turn it off. You have to keep it in a zone. And if you can achieve that, then basically you have a very, very long and fruitful and healthy life ahead of you.
I'm writing even more notes because you said so many. Everything you said is a truth bomb. It's amazing. And one of the things that struck me that I know is going to resonate with a lot of people listening, you said, you know, this low-level inflammation is going on behind the scenes. These are my words, behind the scenes, right? So we can't feel it. And I think about, I'll use an example in my own personal life. There's a lot of things that we do on a day-to-day basis that I know in my life were probably, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, were causing inflammation, but because we don't, it's not visceral. We're not feeling it. We can't go, oh, wait. So I'll use an example. Don't judge me, Dr. Sears, but I happen to love diet soda. I really do. I've never liked regular. I don't drink it anymore because I stopped. But when people would tell me my whole life, they'd say, oh, that's so bad for you. And it's awful and it's causing you to gain weight and it's causing this. And I would look at them and go, I've been drinking it all my life and I don't have any problems. And I'm guessing that you would say to me that, like, in that case, it wasn't as if I drink a diet soda and I immediately had a stomach ache. I immediately had a headache. I immediately had anything that I could see, touch, feel, or experience. But yet I'm guessing that crap I was drinking was probably having an effect behind the scenes. Is that a good way to illustrate it, or am I out in left field?
Nope, you're right, that home plate. And that's exactly what's going on. You can't feel it, but you can measure this type of inflammation. Right. And when you measure it, you see it's everywhere. And that's why a lot of our diseases that cause such this stress in our culture, heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, these diseases do not happen overnight. They only take place after years, if not decades, of constant inflammatory damage because we had not been able to turn off this residual inflammation. And so we had to sit back and say, we've been barking up the wrong tree. Rather than basically looking at drugs that only manage the symptoms of chronic disease, we have to go to the basic core of what causes chronic disease. This is what I call idiopathic medicine. Mm. Idiopathic is a term I use in medicine saying of unknown origin. Now, a better definition of idiopathic is the patient feels pathetic and the doctor's an idiot. when usually you go to a doctor and ask him, what caused this disease? He says, I don't know. But I have a drug that can help manage the symptoms, I hope, for a lifetime.
Yep.
So we basically are managing the symptoms, but never going to the cause. I use the analogy, if you have a bamboo splinter on your fingernail, you have two options. One, take anti-inflammatory drugs to reduce the pain. Or two, remove the splinter. Hmm. So again, when we talk about diet and inflammation, what we're doing is now going about to remove the splinter. It makes more sense.
That's such a beautiful and simple illustration. And back to what you said before, when we go to the doctor and they say everything that you just said, I could repeat that own experience in my own history so many times. And now that I'm more aware and educated, which is what we want to do on this show, is open people's eyes to go, oh, wait a second. I can push back at my doctor. I can ask questions. I can be my own advocate. I remember dozens of times that I would go and I've had a recurring skin condition that flares up, and I would go in because I didn't like the way I looked. I had these horrible bumps that would come out on my neck and my arm. And I remember going to my doctor at the time, and he said exactly what you said. It's like, we don't know what it is. You know, we've done a biopsy. It's not coming back as anything we can identify. Let's try this. And they put me on antibiotics. And then when the antibiotics didn't work, they doubled the dose of the antibiotics. And when the double dose didn't work, he doubled the strength of the antibiotics. And I was on double dose, double strength antibiotics for 7 years. And it only would lessen just what you said. It lessened the pain of that splinter. It didn't take the splinter out because the bumps still kept coming back. And all that time, what I didn't realize, and I'm curious how you'd address this, you know, I'm guessing based on what I've learned, all those years of antibiotics were probably doing major damage as from an inflammatory perspective. Am I right? Antibiotics?
You're quite right on the antibiotics and also on the diet sodas.
Yeah.
because there are three parts in your body that are very prone to inflammation. One is the gut. The second is the blood, and the third is the brain. Hmm. And basically, you have to have a constant strategy of, you really have to be almost like a war footing every day to keep inflammation in each part of those bodies under control. And that's why you have to look at a very comprehensive system. We think of drugs as being magic bullets, which is ridiculous.
Right.
But there is a magic orchestration. And if we know how to break that code, we can now basically do things that no drugs can possibly do. And this is to control the levels of hormones and turn on and turn off genes. This is gene therapy. This is not good nutrition or eat from the four major food groups. It's knowing how to turn on the genes and turn off the genes that are integral in terms of our ability to control inflammation for a lifetime.
This is pretty amazing to hear. And it's hitting home with me because again, you know, I've just shared a couple of examples with you in the early part of this interview. And this is stuff I've experienced over the past, I'm going to say 7-8 years. My body started going into early onset perimenopause. And I'm also sure that, you know, for me, I was on the birth control pill since I was 20. I was on it for, you know, 25 years. Then you add in all the antibiotics, you add in poor diet, you add in a lot of NSAIDs. I was taking Excedrin PM every single night to go to sleep for 7 years. And I remember also asking my doctor about that. I said, isn't this a problem that I'm taking this every night? I swear to God, people, this is what I asked him. And he said, no, it's not a problem. It's not addictive. And I was, you know, now I know how those things affect your liver. They affect everything else. But, these types of scenarios like that I've been in are very common. We hear people all the time going to the doctor. This is what you're going to experience. The good news is, and this is where I'm going to start to let you get into some detail, Dr. Sears, is that there is a lifestyle and food. And I love how you say you've got to get in the zone. So I think the first part is for all of us to understand we're probably there if we're experiencing inflammation, chronic issues of any kind, you know, there is a solution, and it's not a pill. It's not a, you know, it's not a Prilosec. It's not a Xanax. It's not any of these things that you might get or are, you know, being told by your doctor. There's a get in the zone, and that's what we all should be focusing on. I love how you say that. I mean, you have to give yourself credit. That's great that it ties into, you know, the book and everything, but it makes sense, getting into the right zone. So tell us, you know, I'm looking at your site now. We're talking about you seem to be very passionate about, and you're educating on anti-inflammatory nutrition. And I'm going to just read a quote from your site because this is what I shared with you. I'm like, I think this is what we talk about today. You said, anti-inflammatory nutrition is based on the concept that our diet can alter our hormones. I'm not going to say those words. I'm going to let you say I don't even know how to say that, as well as the expression of our genes, especially those that control the inflammatory process. There are three distinct dietary mechanisms that can be invoked to achieve this goal. Number one, anti-inflammatory diet. Two, adequate levels of omega-3 fatty acids. That's a very confusing topic for a lot of our listeners, I know. We get a lot of questions on that. Number three, adequate levels of polyphenols. Again, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Any one of these is beneficial, but the application of all three simultaneously results in a powerful synergistic interaction to manage cellular inflammation for a lifetime. So you've obviously put a ton of research and practice into this. So I'd like you to start talking about this, maybe just go point by point, anti-inflammatory diet, the omega-3 fatty acids, what are they? And then the adequate levels of polyphenols. What is that and how do we get that?
Well, before I start that, let me give you just a quick overview of what, again, that zone is. Remember, we're talking about, yes, I'm trying to turn down the intensity of inflammation, not turn off completely, just turn it down. But at the same time, I have to turn on the resolution of inflammation. So the stay in that zone is like two kids on a teeter-totter. You've got to basically have a reduction of inflammation, but an increase in resolution. And when those two are balanced, you're in the zone. The zone's not some mystical place. It's a real place, a real physiological place in your body you can measure by blood test. And they're standard blood tests. And those blood tests will tell you whether you're in the zone or not. And that's like being pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. If you're not in the zone, then you start working on the three areas of the body that basically are more likely to take you out of the zone. We'll start with the blood and the zone diet. The zone diet is not a diet to lose weight. It was a diet to basically reduce the production of those hormones called eicosanoids that turn on inflammation. And that's where basically now it's looking at balancing protein, carbohydrate, and fat every time you open your mouth. Because the hormones derived from the foods you eat will change dramatically within really minutes after you start eating. Really? But that changes will only last 5 hours. So you have an opportunity every 5 hours for the rest of your life to change the hormones in your blood to turn down the inflammatory response. But if you choose not to, then basically it's like walking on thin ice in New England in the middle of May. You probably do it, but it could be very dangerous.
That's awesome.
So what is a zone diet? Well, it's one that you have to restrict calories because excess calories itself is an inflammatory event. Now, this doesn't mean being hungry or tired. You have to restrict calories with never being hungry or tired. That's only possible if you can stabilize blood sugar levels. But that's exactly how you treat diabetes. And that's why the zone diet is now adopted by Harvard Medical School at the Joslin Center for Diabetes as the primary diet to treat diabetes.
Wow.
Now, is it hard to do? No. Here's all you have to do. You need three things. One eye, one hand, and one watch. If you have these, you can follow this diet for a lifetime. And here's how you do it. At every meal, you basically divide your plate into three equal sections. That's why you need the eye. On one third of the plate, you put some low-fat protein, chicken, fish, or if you're vegan, soybean imitation meat products. Now, how much? The size of the palm of the hand will tell you. Now, I'm 6'5", so I'm taking a wild guess that the size of my palm is bigger than yours. So that means I can have a little more protein on that plate than you can. Not much more, but a little more. Now, what about the other two-thirds of the plate? You fill it full of colorful carbohydrates. They're called fruits and vegetables. The reason they're colorful, they're very, very rich in polyphenols. These polyphenols, if taken in high enough concentrations, can activate the genes that turn down inflammation. Okay. Now, why do you need the watch? What about fat? Well, you add a little fat. Just make sure it's monounsaturated fat, things like olive oil or slivered almonds or guacamole. But how much? A dash. Now, why do you need the watch? If you balance your plate correctly, for the next 5 hours, you'll have no hunger and peak mental acuity. Why? You're stabilizing blood sugar levels. That's the good news. The bad news is you have to start again. And so this is now a way of we can now be using, talking about the zone diet as a hormonal control mechanism to keep blood sugar levels and the hormones that are important in the inflammatory process in that zone. Now, what about the omega-3 fatty acids? These are the fatty acids and nutrients that really don't turn down inflammation, but they increase resolution. And that's the secret. That's the key. Because it's the hormones derived from omega-3 fatty acids, they're called resolvins, that resolve the inflammation. They turn it off. And in the process, they rejuvenate the body. Let me give you an example. Let's say you cut your hand. What happens initially? Pain, swelling, redness. Mm-hmm. That's inflammation. But in a couple of days, the hand is healed completely. That's the resolution process, as if you've turned back the hands of time. To do that, you have to have adequate levels of omega-3 fatty acids, and the one organ in your body that is most susceptible to inflammation is the brain. Drugs can't get into the brain, thank God, because they raise tremendous havoc. But omega-3 fatty acids can if you have enough in the blood. And that's why in many untreatable conditions, like severe brain trauma, or things like macular degeneration, the primary cause of blindness, or even things like type 1 diabetes, say autoimmune disease, if you have high levels of omega-3 fatty acids in the blood, you can resolve the inflammation very effectively. And now the polyphenols, why are they important? They're the guardians of the gut. And basically, they are the landscapers of the gut. They are the groundskeepers. And without a healthy gut, you cannot have a healthy life, because that will be the primary point of attack of inflammation getting into your body. We have hundreds of trillions of microbes, millimeters away from our blood system, that basically, if they get into our blood or their fragments, they will cause significant inflammatory responses. And so let's go back now to your diet soda days. The diet soda, it tasted great. It tasted far bit more fun than water. But those artificial sweeteners were actually destroying many of the gut microbes, giving rise to a leaky gut. And that allowed fragments to get into your bloodstream to cause an ongoing aspect of inflammation. Now, when we talked about anti-inflammatory drugs, we have a lot of them, but they don't work very well, because on a long-term usage, more people die in America each year from taking anti-inflammatory drugs than die from AIDS.
Why? Really?
The reason is because anti-inflammatory drugs are also anti-resolution drugs. The more we take these anti-inflammatory drugs, the more we retard, if not turn off, the resolution approach. The more anti-inflammatory drugs we take, the more we develop a leaky gut that allows more inflammation to enter into the body.
What would be, Dr. Sears, a common anti-inflammatory drug?
Well, aspirin would be one. Okay. Basically, Advil would be another. Mm. You see all that, say, oh, I took an Advil and basically I can work all day long. Well, you won't have the pain, but you won't have the resolution of the pain. So, we see that the more powerful one now are basically drugs which are called biologicals, things like monoclonal antibodies you have to inject. You see all these happy faces saying, I took my Enbrel today and I feel no pain. And then everybody's running around, having a happy time, and then overcomes the overlay. It may cause death.
Exactly.
And you say, well, I didn't hear that part. I like the part of running around and being joyful. But it's an anti-inflammatory drug, but it's also an anti-resolution drug.
Wow. I think that there's a lot of people out there, and I was one of them. You know, I remember that somebody said this to me within the last year. They said something similar to the way that you described it earlier, which is, you know, it's kind of the, I can't think of the thing under the nail.
Oh, the bamboo shoot.
What is the splinter?
Yes.
You said, yeah. So when we have a headache, we are taking that pill, which I've done for years. I'm like, well, for me, it's Excedrin, because Excedrin is what's going to kill any headache for me. And somebody said, well, you're not actually solving the headache. You're just, and this, I think the way they said it was, it's just kind of closing the signal to the brain that says, oh, I have pain. So it's getting rid of that pain signal, but you're not getting rid of the pain. I remember thinking, well, that's weird. It's just the pain. I was thinking the way you just described it, which is I take a pill and the pain's gone. I'm all better. But that's not really solving what my body's headache is a signal to me that something isn't right. And instead of just basically muting that signal, which is what I think a lot of these anti-inflammatory drugs do, they just mute the signal so you can't hear it. And then you keep ignoring it and it keeps happening. Now that's my Kelly Alexa street terminology, but would you say that that's pretty much what's going on? It's almost like you're muting these signals and allowing the situation to perpetuate.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
Now, that's a very excellent description of exactly how these drugs are working. They're basically, it's like I have dirt on the floor. I could clean the dirt up or I could put a rug over it and pretend the dirt's not there. The dirt hasn't gone away. It's still there. And so again, this is why that we have to basically begin to look at medicine in a new way. The way we practice medicine today is totally unsustainable. No question about it. Now, it doesn't mean that food will replace drugs completely. Drugs do have a role to play to reduce symptoms. But the more we treat food like a drug, take it the right dose at the right time, the less drugs we need to treat any residual symptoms. So I'm saying we want to always take the least amount of drugs possible. Realize they have a role to play, but a secondary role to play. It's our diet that is our primary drug. And this is not new. This goes back to the beginnings of modern medicine with Hippocrates when he said three things. One, let food be your medicine. Let medicine be your food. It's taken us 2,500 years to understand his wisdom. He's talking about how the food we eat can affect our hormones and the expression of our genes. Drugs can't do this. Two, he said, all disease begins in the gut. The gut's a very complex organ. We're only beginning to understand now. And you say, whoa, what's going on there? We have no idea, but we know that a lot of things are basically emanating from the gut that are causing inflammation. And the last thing Hippocrates said, do the patient no harm. Start with your primary drug, food, and then basically use the least amount of a pharmaceutical to help control the symptoms that may not have been completely resolved by the food itself.
Wow. And you're right. That is the polar opposite of what we tend to see. But I have experienced the better side of that. In other words, like the more that I have learned through getting my blood work done, and I'm glad you referenced that earlier, the importance of that, and that's how you measure the inflammation and measure your success as you move along. But the more that I got blood work done and got connected with the right doctor who has a more holistic approach, I have a wonderful doctor in Austin. In fact, we interviewed him on the show. But you know, when you really start paying attention to your body, and that's what I'm passionate about getting people to understand, is that I used to be that person that was eating, you know, crap food, diet soda, not paying attention to things. And when people would say to me, oh, you know, all that's bad for you. All of that, you know, all that fake food, that neon green pre-workout protein drink that you're drinking, that's a little weird. Like maybe you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, come on. You know, I didn't think I had any side effects, but the reality is I did. I just wasn't paying attention to the fact that I was bloated every day. That when I went to bed, I was always constantly pushing on my stomach going, why am I bloated? But I didn't pay attention to it. I had headaches all the time, my whole life. And I would just pop Excedrin my whole life. And now the more that I've changed my food now it, sometimes it can be a bummer because you decide to have birthday cake and immediate headache, immediate bloating. And you, that's when you can make those decisions. Like, do I want to have birthday cake and deal with the temporary side effects, or do I like feeling better? But it really is remarkable how much you can change. And I love the fact that, for example, I'm never bloated unless I eat something that is outside of, you know, the natural good, you know, approach to eating that I practice now. And it's really remarkable how much it can change some of these symptoms that we think we should just deal with. A lot of people think, oh, I'm just getting older, I must get headaches all the time, oh, it just must be my hormones. And that's not true at all. This stuff, what do you say? That's probably a good kind of point as we wrap up. And I have two specific questions I want to ask you in a second, but there's a lot of people that say just what I said there. They think that all these symptoms they're experiencing, the chronic pain, the stomach aches, the headaches, you know, diarrhea, constipation, any kind of indigestion, they think that's just getting older, or, oh, I'm just stressed. They think they can't change it. What would you say to people that come to you with that kind of excuse, if you will?
Well, it's not so much an excuse as much of a rationalization.
Yeah, that's a better term.
The fact is that we can change. It requires discipline. But you have, that's why education is so important. Because right now, people are more confused than ever in America as to what to eat. Because everybody seems to be an expert. So that's why you basically have to basically do some due diligence on your own to understand the power of food. And this starts at the top. The concepts I'm talking about today to you are as alien to many of your listeners as they are to the top professors at Harvard Medical School. Mm. And so we have a lot of education to do. Yeah. But once you understand how food works at this, you know, much more visceral level of hormones and genes, you say, God, this is really exciting. And I have the ability to control my future if I choose to.
Mm. It really is. I can hear it's been really awesome because when you talk, it kind of reminds me of how I get excited about certain things that we're doing in FitFluential. It's my baby. But hearing the passion and excitement in your voice, you can tell that you've really spent a lot of time figuring this stuff out and had a lot of success helping millions of lives with your publications and your products and your research. But you can hear it through the phone that you're so passionate about this. And I love how much you provide, and we want to point people to your sites. So I'm going to get there in 2 seconds, but I have two specific questions I want to ask you as we close up this interview today, just because these are points you brought up earlier, and I think they're really good points. You know, you mentioned when we were talking about the fats and the omega-3 fatty acids, you know, and how significant these are. They affect the brain. A lot of people don't know what, and this is a common question we get, they don't know what are quote unquote good fats, what are bad fats, what should they be focusing on. What would be a simple tip for people that are listening? Because, you know, I'm visiting my parents right now. These are questions that my parents ask me. Is butter bad for me? Should I be avoiding butter? What fats are good? What fats are bad?
Well, a good definition of a good fat is one that helps turn off inflammation. A definition of a bad fat, it turns on inflammation. Okay, that's to say, now which are the fats that turn off inflammation? There's only one, omega-3 fatty acids, and primarily the omega-3 fatty acids found in fish and fish oils. Hmm. Now, what are the fatty acids that turn on inflammation? All the foods you like to eat normally, you know, we hear people say, oh, eat all the saturated fat you want, it's good for you. Say, come on, you're killing me. In saturated fat, there's one fatty acid called palmitic acid. This is probably the most powerful inflammatory fatty acid found. And so the more fatty saturated fats you eat, the more palmitic acid you're consuming, and you're turning on inflammation. Mm-hmm. And the other fat that is actually even more inflammatory are these omega-6 fatty acids, which are now the cheapest source of calories in the world today. They are, as you get higher levels of these fatty acids in the blood, combined with higher levels of the hormone insulin, it's like adding a lighted match to a vat of gasoline. You're having a wildfire of inflammation being produced that is now spreading to every organ in the body.
Hmm. You know what else? And this is my last question, and then I'll have you wrap up and tell folks where to find you online. And this has been amazing. Such a great first interview with you. And I say first because Dr. Sears, I'm just letting you know, I will stalk you after this to come back on the show. You've been brilliant. One of the things I love that you said earlier is, you know, you were sharing about the plate. And you said a third protein and two thirds fruits and vegetables. And then you talked about fats and you said, you know, a dash. There are a lot of, in my opinion, in the diet, health, wellness, fitness field, you know, in media, there's a lot of just messaging out there to the effect of, well, just eat clean and you don't have to count calories. Just eat paleo and you don't have to worry about fats. Just it's all the avocado you want. Oh, it's guacamole. That's good fats. Just eat all you want. It doesn't matter. You know, you can have cheeseburgers all day. There's quote unquote diets that are out there that'll, you know, have, you can eat all you want of this. In fact, I got very upset when I saw there was, you know, a press release out earlier and they said, oh, Weight Watchers, it's now approved that you can eat all you want of these foods. And I'm like, why is this the answer? Telling us to eat all we want of something. And so I love that you brought up several times, you have to have reasonable amounts and you do have to restrict calories. I think that's just a simple wake-up call for all of us. Like, hey guys and girls, we eat to fuel our bodies to be active and to be healthy, not to gorge ourselves. Do you still have to deal with a lot of that when patients or clients come to you or when people ask for advice, they're still thinking that it can be a heyday as long as you eat the right foods, whether it's clean or gluten-free or organic, you can eat all you want. But ultimately, would you say we got to watch what we eat in the amounts we eat as well?
I agreed. And this is the hardest thing. People are looking for a reason for gluttony. There's a reason why the early Christian church made gluttony one of the seven deadly sins. because the more we eat, again, I said it's an inflammatory response. We have to deal with something with those calories, and those calories cause excess inflammation. So the secret is saying, what's the least number of calories I have to consume on a daily basis that I'll never be hungry and never be tired?
Hmm. Now, pretty simple.
Once you start eating a lot of vegetables, it's hard to overconsume vegetables. It's very hard. And so therefore, that's why vegetables, as your grandmother told you, should be the major constituent of carbohydrates in your diet. And so again, we have to basically say calories do count. People say, oh, they don't. Say, then you've already opened your mouth and basically described yourself as an idiot by making that statement. Calories do count.
Yeah. And I remember that when I first started seeing my doctor in Austin, you know, that was one of the things because I'd been given some very poor advice prior to that, which was kind of down the line of just eat paleo. And if you're hungry, eat more guacamole, more burgers, more fat. And, you know, I was a hot mess from an inflammation perspective. I gained 4 inches around my waist and I knew it was wrong. And when I looked back at all the bulletproof coffee and, you know, fats that were being, you know, I was being told to do that. It put me in the worst place ever. And the first thing my doctor had said to me is he's like, you know, and he's called the paleo doctor, right? They give him that because he was one of the, I guess, first folks to pursue that line of eating, if you will. And he believes as well that food is medicine, but I said, you know, do you do bulletproof coffee? And he said, no. And he's like, you know, when people drink that, they think that there's no calories in it. And an average bulletproof coffee can have 500 to 1,000 calories easily. And people chug it all day and go, oh, it's no big deal. Now it might work for some people, but I love that you brought up calories do count and how much we eat does count. I think that is a public service announcement across the board that more and more people, if they did themselves a favor and listened to that, they would find a lot better future for themselves in their health journey. So I love that you brought that. That could be a whole show in the future. But I do need to respect your time. We certainly went over a few minutes here, and I appreciate you doing that. But Dr. Sears, it has been, again, such a sincere pleasure. You are so passionate and genuine about this, and I would love to have you back on the show. But for those today that are listening that are newbies, but also that want to find out more about what you offer, where can they find you online?
Well, there's two spots. One would be more for the pointy-headed nerds like myself. they would go to drsears.com to learn about the science. But for the average person, they want to say, okay, I'll need some science, but just show me how to do it. I'd recommend they go to my other website called zonediet.com. And there we give basically a more practical advice along with some of the various products we've developed over the years in our clinical trials that have been very successful.
I have been a personal customer of yours for a while. I bought your book years ago. My brother bought your book years ago. He was the one that first started buying. I remember, this is like 20 years ago. He would order from Zone Direct and get the bars. And everything you've had out is amazing and your research is extraordinary. So thank you so much for being on the show. I will follow up with you to see if we can get you back because this has been extraordinary and I'm so honored. So for everybody that's tuning in, of course, we'll have all of the links to everything in the show notes at fitfluentialradio.com. If you have any questions, of course, you can contact Dr. Sears on the websites that he mentioned. But if you have any questions you'd like us to cover with him when we get him back on the show, you can email those to podcast@fitfluential.com. Until then, we will see you guys all next time. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.